Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Not be serious. Cannot be serious. Cannot be serious. What in the French tone?
Mojack. Slugging. Slugging. Watch out.
Seen I had it all. That's what they thought. But I was
someone who loved me for me. There ain't no replacement.
It either is or it ain't.
That's right. GM Hyman Radio Live. Again, apologize for the technical difficulties at the top of the show. But we up in here, 906 out here on the East Coast, 606 on the West Coast, up close and personal with Arthur Curtis Bunn tonight. Hey, jump on it, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926, Inside Money Monday. Hey, authors are finding much success in penning and publishing their independent work, and we're going to get all up in it tonight. But first, all the way live from Plant City, where I hear there's a fur out there in Plant City, hot chocolate. What's cracking? Welcome to the show.
Lord Jesus, I just went to go get me a cold pop. I ain't put no shoes on or nothing, Lord Jesus. Smoke got me, Lord Jesus. It's a fire. It's a fire. The board is holding me hostage tonight, people. I apologize.
All the way live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Give it up.
Yes.
Boston. Hey, we trying to help Boston get her Twitter up. Boston, hit him right now, top of the show, with that Twitter handle. Hey, follow her, like, right now.
At Madam Boston. Yeah. At Madam Boston, MadamBoston.
Hey, we trying to help her get her Twitter followers up. So she only has, like, you know, 100 followers. You know, we trying to help her out. We trying to help her out.
Too. I only have 122 followers.
So hit them right now. Very hot.
It doesn't seem very hot by the number, but yes, very hot chalk.
Very hot chalk. This is yes. Twitter, and y'all can definitely hit me up, Mr. T-M-H-Y-M-A-N, as well as follow the show, which is T-M-H-Y-M-A-N Radio. We talked about Twitter. Help us get our game up. Now we're going to help this dude get his Twitter game up because he's definitely got the book concept down pat. We're up close and personal tonight with author Curtis Bunn. That's B-U-N-N, not to be confused with Dunn, because y'all know I'll do a Steve Harvey and mess somebody's name up in a moment.
Tear the pieces.
This is
Bunn.
B-U-N-N.
You did good tonight,
my dude. My dude, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for stopping past.
Hey, thanks for having me. What's good?
Hey, what's good with you, man? I look to publish and ink my own one day. Clearly, you know, you kind of lay in the path right now. Introduce yourself to the world. They're listening all over.
Yeah, I don't know about laying the path, but I've been in this game now for about 12 years. I'm a journalist by trade. A sports writer. Went to Norfolk State University, majored in journalism. And
big up, NSU.
Yes, sir. sports writer. In Washington, D.C., New York for 11 years, covering the Knicks, and then 14 years in Atlanta at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, covering the Olympics in Australia in 2000, the Hawks, the Falcons, the Braves, you pretty much name it, Super Bowls, Holyfield, I've pretty much done it. But I was always a reader, loved books, loved to read, and it never really hit me to write a novel before until reading Waiting to Excel. One day on the beach in Hawaii saying, oh, this is cool, but, you know, I think I could do this, give a male's perspective on relationships, which is certainly needed. And eventually I got around to starting a novel that was called Baggage Check. It came out in 2000, was number one on the Essence bestsellers list, and since then I've written five others with the sixth one coming out in October, and just got a deal for two more for next year and the following year. So,
congratulations.
Thanks very much. I appreciate
it. Congrats, man. I mean, hey, that's extraordinary. I mean, I like to consider myself as a writer. I definitely think I'm a journalist. That's why, you know, we do these type of programs.
Right.
But for someone with such a broad portfolio, I mean, and some of it, it sounds a little somewhat diverse as well. Outside of Norfolk State University, did you go to any other institution and focus on writing, or you just took your degree and your experience and made it work?
Exactly. When I was 13 years old, I tell the story when I speak to kids all the time. I had a class called Consumer Education. I grew up in Washington, D.C., and the class, one project was to do a story, a paper on a career. And recently my English teacher had told me to consider journalism because he liked my paper. So I was an athlete, basketball, football, baseball, swimming, everything. And the teacher said, don't write about sports. And so I picked journalism because Mr. Overton, my English teacher, had just mentioned it to me. And when I got home, back in the day, we had encyclopedias. Everything's on the internet now, but we had these big encyclopedias.
Right.
Went to the J and looked up journalism. And about the fifth or sixth paragraph, it said, some journalists make up to $500 a week. And when I heard that at 13 years old, I thought that was a lot of money. So my interest really got piqued. And I went to school for journalism in high school. I was editor of my high school paper in my junior year, and I went to a career development center as a senior in high school. And when I went to Norfolk State, I worked for the Spartan Echo newspaper from the first week I was there till the last week. And that experience, working with some really talented colleagues and some advisors and professors who helped guide us in certain aspects, I was able to get an internship at the Virginia Pilot in Norfolk. And when I graduated, I actually had three job offers and took one in St. Petersburg, Florida with the Times before coming to D.C. to start the sports career. So it really was honed. It was birthed in D.C. when I was 13, but everything, the major crafting and honing took place at Norfolk State University.
Big up NSU. Oh, man, tonight we have author Curtis Bunn hanging out with us inside Money Monday. We're up close and personal. We're going to take a break, come right back. You can hit the circuits if you got questions tonight, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926 on the other side. Author Curtis Bunn, and we're going to talk about, man, the multiple works that he's done and how he cashing in so we can follow his lead. The pros and cons of self-publishing with author Curtis Bunn. Right back, Team Hama Radio Live.
It ain't for everybody. Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
Picture.
Coming with.
Let's not even talk about it.
Let's do it.
Go.
Uh-huh.
I see your jealousy as you watch.
Watching, babe.
You watching.
It's all good.
It's kind of sexy.
I love it.
How you watching?
Uh-huh.
You watching.
Come on.
I see your face.
I see your face.
You want to touch.
You want to touch.
You come to play.
Come to the crib.
And let's discuss.
Let's chop it up.
Tonight you'll be.
Tonight you're going to be a superstar,
you're
baby.
I'm going to sign you up.
Let's get into it.
Who was the lie?
You're blinded by the
action.
You need that. Spots me in the lobby of my high-rise. I hide behind my shade, cause the fame is blinding my eyes. My God, I know how Ozzy Oz must have felt when he was eyes high. As I have got to make this stop. People often warn me that the fame ain't for the vain of heart. It'll change those who said they had love for you into strangers. When your thing starts, it's a chain reaction. Locomotion like when a train departs. Stranger, things have happened. Rapping, stacking, platinum, plaquing. Born in Brooklyn, got a place in Manhattan. Going back to Brooklyn to escape the madness.
Where your friends is
Chris and Gwyneth. And your girl is more famous than you, Venice. Time to get all your windows tinted. Keep your eyes squinting, it's on flash any minute. The music biz like musical chairs. About where you're standing when the music stops spinning. And you're blinded by the
action.
You need that
Hollywood.
You
want the light.
You're blinded by the
action.
You need that.
Uh-huh.
basic to A-lister. You're in the midst of the ride of your life, but you gotta keep them hits up. Can't put your guard down, gotta keep your mitts up. Take a sip, sir. It's so intoxicating, ain't it? Try not to get jaded. Hollywood's been good to you. Starting to feel like buzz to you, don't lie. Gone fly, you addicted to the lights. Without the fame, how you gonna survive? It's like pooping on heroin, you so high.
And everybody's wanting you alive.
Real talk, and we are back. It is 9:17 TM Hyman Live. I am your girl, Hot Chocolate, here in Itty Bitty Plant City. She is Madam CeeLo Boston in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he is General TM Hyman. Also joining us, we have Arthur Curtis Bunn on the line as well, fellow NSU alum, proud Spartan. I am very happy today.
NSU. Green and gold in the building.
Yes, and speaking of green and gold in NSU, one of the things that always is lying near and dear to my heart is the subject of HBCUs and their homecoming events. Now, it just so happens that Curtis has a book entitled Homecoming Weekend that does give us the feel of being home. It mentions a lot of things in the 757 area and really gives us a very close perspective of what goes on and in a fictional and I'm going to say non-fictional way also, because it just so happens in reading the book I might have seen a few stories that I may be familiar with either directly or indirectly, but that's neither here nor there.
Hey, listen, I haven't even read the book, but Curtis, is there anything about the Riverfront Club that used to be in Portsmouth in the book? He laughed. So he remembers the Riverfront Club.
He laughed.
Over
there
in Portsmouth around the time that Biggie and Puff had blew up.
Yeah, the Riverfront Club is not in the book, but there's so much that is in the book that is relatable to, particularly if you went to Northern State, but to any black college.
Yes, sir. I
in
went
general.
To Northern State.
Yeah, there are a lot of names and places and streets and people that you will recognize and feel, and it make you feel like home. I call the book really a love story to Norfolk State, even though it is a story in which I've had readers from Tennessee State, Howard, Hampton, many, many black colleges read and say, wow, I feel so good about this book because this is us. This is my experience as well.
Yeah.
Right. Awesome.
But, the idea of the book came actually from, I guess it was 2010, being at homecoming, and or maybe 11, walking after the game down Presidential Parkway past the tennis courts and thousands of people there and the tailgates one after another, and the band is playing behind us. Walking,
yeah, it's a beautiful sight.
I was with a brother who hadn't been to homecoming in many years, and he was just overwhelmed by the whole occasion. It was about 72 degrees and sunny, and he was like, man, this should be a movie. And it hit me at that moment as a writer. I'm like, it should be a movie, but it should be a book first. And that's where the notion of writing the book came. And it brought me back. It made me think about things and people I hadn't thought about in a long time. And it was a very fun book to write because it took me back to a place in time where I was young and really kind of grew into myself over my 4 years there.
Before we go any further, how can we follow you? How can we pick up any of the works, and there's quite a few of them, folks. How can we pick something up and follow you right now for those who are listening live?
My works are all of them are everywhere on Amazon.com, obviously, but my website is Curtis Bunn, like you mentioned earlier, BUNN.com, CurtisBunn.com, and then I'm on Twitter, Curtis Bunn. Facebook, Curtis Bunn. I try to keep it consistent so there'll be no confusion. So that's where I am. And I'm very accessible. I love doing radio shows, but I also meet with a lot of reading groups. I travel to Memphis, to Orlando, to D.C., to North Carolina, to Houston, wherever it may take me, wherever there's interest, to meet with book clubs and talk about books, because it's an honor that someone will pick up the book and read it. And so if I can get there to meet with them and have a good time, it's always a great, great fellowship as well. I'll certainly do it.
For sure.
That's awesome.
So,
awesome.
Curtis, let me add my question to you is, and we'll kind of take this in parts. Tell us which of your works were self-published and which are under a deal.
I only self-published one book. My third book is called That Was Then, This Is Now, which is now available actually as an e-book on Amazon.com. That is the only book I self-published. My other books, my first two novels, Baggage Check and Book Club, were published through a black-owned publishing company called A&B Books out of Brooklyn. They were major distributors, and they wanted to get in the publishing game, and they selected me as the vehicle to do so. They have since moved back to Jamaica, I believe. I'm not sure where they are, but those are my first two books. And then I self-published That Was Then, This Is Now. And since then, my other books, A Cold Piece of Work, Homecoming Weekend, which is out now, which came out in October, September, and then my new book that comes out in October is called The Truth Is in the Wine. Those are all published by Strebo Books, which is a subsidiary of Simon & Schuster.
So what made you go the route of self-publishing on your third novel versus your first?
Yeah, I wanted to see what it was like. I was very appreciative of the brothers at A&B Books that gave me the opportunity. They paid me nicely. They had great hearts, but they weren't publishing wasn't their strong suit. And so I felt like while the book, especially Baggage Check, did wonderfully, it was number one on the Essence bestsellers list, I thought more could happen. And so I wanted to see what it was like, because in the end, it's almost no difference between being published by, Simon & Schuster is a major publisher, but they're not going to do as much work for you as you're going to have to do for yourself. So there's almost little difference between self-publishing and publishing. Obviously, the major differences are two. One, they're going to pay you to write the book, or pay you if the book is already written, pay you for the book. And two, they have the distribution deals that everybody needs so that your book can be in Barnes & Noble, in Dallas, in Texas, in Houston, in L.A., or all over the country. That's the real trouble with self-publishing. You have to have the ability to get your book where you want it to be, which is everywhere, is always an issue. And so I ran into that issue. Even with Baggage Check, which was published by a small publishing company, we had trouble getting the book out. I mean, I literally had to call bookstores. I started calling all black bookstores around the country, letting them know about it, sending them a sample copy, sending them press releases, and then they end up ordering the book and going to the community relations department of Barnes & Noble, starting in Atlanta where I live now, and going there, and they work with local authors, so they ended up carrying the book. And then when people continued to come in and buy it, then it got into their system, and so other Barnes & Nobles around the country started ordering it. So I was kind of curious about what it would be like to have total control of your work, the cover, and I think that's what really, when I'm thinking, because I hadn't given it much thought, but what really took me over the edge and decided I wanted to do it myself was with my second book, which is called Book Club. It was a compilation of five short stories about the lives of the members in five different book clubs. The publishers, A&B Books, we were at odds over the cover. I thought the cover should be a cover of a real-life book club sitting around a place with books in their hands and drinks on the table and food on the table and them talking to each other, which is what happens at a book club meeting. Had a beautiful picture of that. They decided that they wanted a naked woman on the cover. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with the title. And we argued back and forth on that, but because they paid for the rights to the book, they had final say over the cover. And I thought they ruined the potential of the book with the cover, because a lot of people were offended by it. And so that's when I said, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing, and I'm going to create my own covers and just do the legwork necessary to get the book out there. And I did that, and I was very happy with it and fulfilled. At the same time, though, I was still writing for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, traveling quite a bit, raising my daughter. So I didn't put all the necessary energy into getting it in bookstores across the country as I might have if I wasn't otherwise busy. And so that's why I went back to – actually, I didn't even go back to seeking a publisher. Zane, who owns Streetboard Books, had read Baggage Check, loved it, wrote an amazingly long and wonderful review on Amazon.com about it, and had started her imprint with Simon & Schuster and asked me, was I working on anything? And I was, and that's where my relationship with her came to be. And so I've done 3 books with them and with the deal to do 2 more.
And so on that note, because that is, like, remarkable. That's remarkable. That's like a rags-to-riches story, which I think is very encouraging. It's 9:27 here in Tampa, Florida. It's 8:27 in Houston, Texas. And we appreciate everyone for tuning in tonight. We're up close and personal with author Curtis Buns. And he just dropped something on us. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it's like to work with Zane. But more so, we're going to talk about the business of writing, because this is a professional writer who has a degree in writing. But, folks, I can tell you it doesn't take a degree to be successful. You have to be disciplined, and you got to know how to take care of your business. When we come back, more with author Curtis Bunn, T.M. Hyman Radio Live. Money Monday. We'll be back.
World's famous. World's famous. You're now listening to Skateboard P and the Louis Vuitton Dime.
I'm back.
It's so unfair. So unreasonable. Go.
I must have hurt your feelings.
Come on.
Your temper hit the ceiling. You know I want to talk to you.
Get him, please.
Oh, girl, come on. But the main thing is living.
Come on.
I know this not giving.
Come on.
You know I got a lot to do.
Take
oh, girl, come on. I
come
know
on.
This party pretty.
Come on.
But
come
you
on.
Know I'll be busy.
Yeah.
That's why I can't talk long on the phone.
Oh, girl, come on.
So
come
funny
on.
If you with me.
Come on.
Know
come
I work for your pretty.
Yeah.
They smile when I get home.
And women make love and
it's gonna be your book, cause you're my number one.
Baby girl, you and me.
Smash it.
That's a hit to me.
Off the charts.
Look how she get to me. She might be
classic.
Nothing if you would see the to me. Tell me how you love that. Number one, can't put
girl,
none above that.
Heart,
you deserve a verse from me. We gon' party
it.
Like it's our anniversary. Go.
Didn't I just tell you?
Go.
That you're my Cinderella.
Get
my
dream
only fits one side.
Come on.
Come on. You know
world
I'd rather be
famous.
Where you are my shining star. But last night, that just wasn't right.
Oh, girl, come on.
I know this party's pretty.
Come on.
But
come
you
on.
Know I'll be busy. That's why I can't talk long on the phone.
Hey, girl, come on.
So funny if you with me.
Yeah.
Know
yeah.
I work for your pretty.
Everybody,
face to smile when I get home.
Everybody say,
number one.
Baby girl, you and me.
Smash it.
That's a hit to me.
Off the charts.
Look how she get to me. She might be
classic.
Nothing to you, but she the to me. Tell me how you love that.
Dashing.
Number one, can't put nothing above that.
Hold your heart.
You deserve a verse from me. We gon' party
it.
Like it's our anniversary. Go.
Number one.
Baby girl, you and me.
Smash it.
That's a hit to me.
Off the charts.
Look how she get to me. She might be
classic.
Nothing to you, but she the me.
Oh,
tell me how you love that. Number one, can't put nothing above that. You deserve a verse from me. We gon' party like it's our anniversary. Yesterday I was half the man you see. Maybe that's because you the other half of me. You my number one hit on the line of the charts. I'm a FedEx, my love, and how you sign for my heart. From my number one eye, keep your dumb fly. It's fresh to death, you like after death. I resurrected my goal, Jesus of Nazareth. Now we fresh as a prince while they jazzy jet. And you don't be saying when they ask me questions. And you be giving me my space. You don't be running on my space. You know some other I hate when they violate. But tonight, man, I ain't the mood for it. Don't matter who wore it, you wore it. Look how you coordinated it. Man, that's my favorite. I love the way that it fits on you.
Yeah,
baby girl, that's on you.
Come on,
look how she get to me. She might be nothing to you, but she the to me. me. Tell me how you love that. Number one, can't put nothing above that. You deserve a verse from me. We gon' party like it's our anniversary.
Number one.
Real talk. Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. It's Madam Boston, and you are listening to TM Hyman Radio Live. And tonight we have author Curtis Bunn on with us. And Mr. Bunn, you are a best-selling author of 6 novels, and then you have an upcoming book called The Truth is in the Wine. Now, right before we went to break, we were, you know, about to get into how you began your journey with working with Zane. And please embark on that.
Zane's sister, Charmaine, who is her editorial director, as it turned out, when I worked in D.C. at the Washington Times newspaper, I was a sports copy editor, and Zane's sister and I worked together in the same department. Of course, Zane wasn't Zane at the time, and I had no idea that her sister was an author, a budding author, or anything of that nature. But years later, as I mentioned, when I began writing the book, Baggage Check, you know, you go to Amazon.com and people write reviews, and probably the most glowing and well put together and thorough review on the book was written by Zane, who had at that time begun her writing journey. And, you know, it meant a lot to me. I didn't know her, but I think she got the book from her sister, who knew who I was and discovered that I had written a book and shared it with Zane, and Zane loved the book and wrote about it. Years later, when Simon & Schuster approached her about an imprint under its conglomerate, she was looking to build her, you know, her roster list of authors with a diverse collection of talent. And so she reached out to me about whether I was working on something. And I happened to be writing a book called A Cold Piece of Work about a guy who loved women but had been hurt early in his life and really didn't know how to deal with that hurt. And so rather than put himself in a vulnerable position, he would get from women what he wanted and leave before he got too close. He basically became extremely cold, and he ended up leaving the wrong woman, the woman who really was good for him. And when he encountered her years later, he still had feelings for her, and she had them for him, but obviously because of the fashion in which he left her, she was very disgruntled with him. But it began a courtship where he wanted to get her back. And I sent her maybe 3 chapters of that book and a synopsis, and she loved the idea. She loved what she had read, and so she offered me a deal to do that book.
That sounds like that could be a piece of my life, man. Get out of here.
Right. I was like, I know people like that. Right. Very relatable.
Yeah, exactly. For men and for women. And I think one of the things I do just as an offshoot to what we're talking about, when I write books, I know men have, starting with Waiting to Excel in particular because it was so popular, men had issues with quote-unquote relationship books because they thought that the depiction of men was bashing or negative. And it's not bashing or negative to me. Even back when Terry McMillan was receiving all that heat from black men, I just felt like it wasn't really bashing or negative if it wasn't true. If it didn't relate to you, if that wasn't you, then you know it happens. You know brothers have been scandalous at times, you know, not worthy of the women in their lives at some points. And so you shouldn't be offended by it if it isn't personal to you. At the same time,
you step on their toe, that's when you can scream. Yeah.
At the same time, I write books, though, that give you insight into the mind of a man. And so while I think one of the problems people had, when I think back on it, really had with Terry McMillan's books, the men who said it was male bashing, besides it being, you know, it being personally hurtful, is that the explanation of why people act as they do wasn't really fleshed out. And I think that's important, more important than what they do, is why people do things. And so in my books, the men characters are strong. Some of them are weak. Some of them are scandalous. Some of them are upstanding. But you know why they are as they are in every case. and the same with the women. I have women who are scandalous, women who are untrustworthy, women who are devoted parents and mothers and who are great wives and girlfriends, because that's the fabric of what happens in relationships, of who we are. But you have to really, I think the responsibility of the author is to paint the picture as to why someone is scandalous, why someone is untrustworthy, why a man could now become committed after years of not being committed. And I take that on very, take that very seriously, and I make sure that that comes across in every character that I write.
Well, we appreciate your contribution.
Yeah, and for those who are listening, no, absolutely. For, and for those, I mean, this show is a platform for you. You are our friend. I mean, we're creative people on this program. And again, you know, I think we all aspire to one day, you know, ink our own project. And so, you know, I think that's a great, you know, segue into what listeners are probably asking themselves. You know, how do you break in? You know, clearly we hear your story, and I think everything is about relationships. You know, I definitely think business is about relationships. It's about networking. It's about getting out, you know, sharing your work. You know, too many of us sit on, you know, our work, you know, because we're trying to protect it. But what advice do you have for budding writers or for those that really don't know where to go, what to do outside of writing 16 bars, you know,
right.
poems,
right.
you know, or just expressing their thoughts, but they do it so eloquently.
Right.
How do you break into business with that?
Well, a couple of things. The first thing is to, you said that they have talent, and they can express themselves. Hone that talent. Make sure that you aren't just telling a story because you think you have a good story to tell. I get emails literally every day. I want you to write my story. I have a great life story, or I want to write my life story. But if you're not a writer, then how do you write it? Well, you become a writer. You can become a writer by learning how to write, by having a grasp of the English language, by reading good writing, and really trying to get a grasp of what you want to convey. Because one of the worst things that can happen is to print a book that is unreadable. I have edited people's books before, and I had a young lady send me a book. She sent me a deposit. She paid me $2,000. And I sent it back to her.
Wow.
Not like I didn't need the money or want the money, but it didn't make sense. There was no organization, the total no concept of grammatical errors or punctuation. It was a mess. And when you have that, nobody's an expert in everything. So if you want to get better in something, study it, learn your craft, get better at it, so that you can achieve what you want to achieve in a way that makes sense to people and make people want to purchase it. So that's the first thing. Be serious about what you're trying to do. If you have been an accountant all your life and now you want to write a story, a book, you may not be you may not have the innate talents to write a book, but that doesn't mean you can't learn and get a basic concept of writing. And so that's where you have to start. If you already have
absolutely.
That. Yeah, if you already have that ability to write, then one of the things about self-publishing, I mean, it's a beautiful thing now because there are many, many outlets to self-publish your book. You don't have to necessarily go out through the process, the painstaking, very frustrating process of finding an agent who would then submit your work to publishers, and you hope and pray that they get it and then offer you a deal. The economy in the publishing world has been hit just like everyone else, and so the deals aren't coming as fruitful as they once were. But there's always that avenue of self-publishing. But even at that, you have to make sure that it's quality. The cover has to look professionally done. It has to be edited. No matter how good of a writer you are, you can't edit your own work and say, okay, it's ready to go. You have to let somebody else look at it who, if nothing else, will catch the typos, will catch the missing letters, will catch the redundant words that annoy readers when they see it in print. So I think the first steps are to really hone your skills. If you're skilled enough and talented enough, if you want to do the self-publishing route, there are many avenues to go. All you have to do is put it in Google, and there'll be many, many options for you. And if you want to go, if you created something that you believe is ready for mainstream publishing, for a publishing house to look at it, then the process in that case is to get an agent and then let the agent submit the work for you. And the reason for that is publishers get requests, all the inquiries all the time from people who say they can write a book, want to write a book, and they use the agents basically as a weeding out process, figuring that if the agent thinks that the book is worthy of them looking at it, then the agent, then they wouldn't be wasting their time. So none of it is fun. None of it is fun because agents tend to think that they're doing you a favor. The publishing houses, they really, there's no way to go get a degree to become an editor at a publishing house. So what makes you, you know, it's so subjective. So what makes you decide that my work isn't good enough to be published?
You probably haven't written anything.
I wasn't even going to go there, but that's true.
No, I have myself run into those things and just, you know, going through the process of submitting to publishing houses and getting the beautiful letters, but then the offers being not really what you want. So I just, I'm doing what Mr. Hyman said, holding on to work until I feel comfortable. So, you're very
so,
your information this evening has been so informative, and
Mr. Bond, if you can just hang out, you know, just for a few more moments, because you know, you drop some serious information on us, and again, folks, you know, they listen to grow, and they listen to be able to enhance and build. You know, upon their dream. And so for those authors who are listening tonight, you're talking about agents. I happen to know, as I, you know, try to search and scout out real agents, credible agents, myself for different projects over the years, that's not an easy process. We're going to take a break and come back. If you can talk to us maybe, you know, 60 seconds, you know, about what we can do to find legitimate, credible agents to represent our work, we greatly appreciate that. Up close and personal tonight, I'm going to say, you know, with the very prestigious author, Mr. Curtis Bunn. We'll be right back. TM Hama Radio Live. Thanks for rocking tonight.
You're looking like I'm just another guy that came to check it, that came to wreck it. No disrespect, but mommy, that's correct, cause what's in them jeans just got my mind hectic. Like you see the truck, feeling my fashion. Is it cause I'm flashing, or is it this gas that's just way too reckless? Or is it this necklace? Wait, let me interrupt myself with this message. See, I just want a quickie, no bite marks, no scratches, and no hickeys. If you can get with that, mommy, come get with me.
I don't wanna be loved.
I just want a quick fix up in your mix, miss. Send me a wish list, I have you addicted. So mommy, come hit this. Mommy, I realize that I'm managed. Speak a language of love like Spanish. Yado bougie, I'm so obscene. Know what I mean? Yes, sorry, that was Portuguese. That I speak with ease. Please, get on a knee. I got a penny for your thoughts if you know what I mean. I just want a quickie, no bite marks, no scratches, and no hickeys. If you can get with that, mommy, come get with me.
I don't wanna be loved, I don't wanna be loved.
I just want a quick fix up in your mix, miss. Send me a wish list, I have you addicted. So mommy, come hit this. Don't be offended, babe, by what I say. It's just a game. I play village and plunder. Call me up, mama. Knock on this wood, get rocked by this thunder. Don't be offended, babe, by what I say. It's just a game. And how I play village and plunder.
call me up, mama. Knock on this wood, get rocked by this thunder. I just want a quickie, no bite marks, no scratches, and no hickey. If you can't get with that, mommy, come get with me.
I don't wanna be loved, I don't wanna be loved.
I just want a quick fix, up in your mix, miss. Send me a wish list, I have you addicted. So mommy, come hit this. No scratches and no hickeys. If you can't get with that, mommy, come get with me.
I don't wanna be loved.
I just want a quick fix up in your mix, miss. Send me a wish list, I have you addicted. So mommy, come hit this. I just want a quickie, no bite marks, no scratches, and no hickeys. If you can't get with that, mommy, come sit with me.
Real Talk Money Monday. It's May 6, 2013. Tonight we have been blessed with, I said, the prestigious author Curtis Bunn, who has been up close and personal with us all out long, really just dropping jewels. His experience is extensive. His portfolio is all that. Mr. Bunn, one more time, how can we follow you? Are you on Facebook, Twitter? I know you gave the website, so give us the website again as well.
Yeah. I'm on Facebook, Curtis Bunn. I have a personal page and an author page. Both of them are the same name. I also am on Twitter at Curtis Bunn, which is CURTISBUNN, and my website is curtisbunn.com. So there's a theme to all of this, Curtis Bunn.
Absolutely. Jump on the website, jump on the tools, you know, check out his work. Tell him how much you appreciate him, and we definitely appreciate you tonight, sir, just for blessing us, you know, with the knowledge. Before we conclude, you were talking about agents and how if you're serious and you have work that you think is competitive, and if it's quality work, don't play with people and waste their time, folks. People get paid for this, so you know, only step if you're serious, right? But how do serious people get their work represented by agents? What's the first few steps we can take to find a good, credible agent?
Yeah, it's a very frustrating process. I've gone through it. I've had more than one agent. And right now I don't even have one. I represent myself. Actually, I didn't even have to do anything. I got a phone call about what I was working on. So I was extremely blessed in that regard. But the process of getting an agent is, man, it's kind of it's hard to even explain. There's a website called literaryagents.com. And there's a major listing of literary agents.
Yeah.
There's also a more personal way to go about it, I think, is to identify some authors that you know and reach out to them via Facebook, through their website, tell them what your interest is, and you're interested in a recommendation of an agent. Sometimes they'll recommend their own agent. They'll tell you about other agents that they know who may work for you. But I think referrals would be probably a more viable way, because then they can tell you about the person's personality, how serious they are, their work ethic. I've had agents that run the gamut, and conversations with agents that when I hung up the phone, I couldn't even believe. As I said before the break, where they thought that like they were doing me a favor or do authors a favor, where all they do is represent you as if you work for them. I can't say that I like agents that much, and I'm not trying to paint a discouraging picture. I just want people to be aware that when you step to them, they may be gracious. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and it behooves them, I think, to be professional and courteous to people, because people put their heart and soul into their work, and if you don't like it, that's one thing. But to be rude about it and to not return calls or to As an example, an agent that I dealt with way back for Baggage Check, I sent her the book. She said she read the book, and I called back about 3 weeks later, as indicated, to see whether she liked the book. She didn't. Her assistant answered the phone, and he said, and she was yelling across the room. I could hear the conversation, and he's like, "It's Curtis Bunn. Did you read his book?" And she, he was like, "What does she want?" He said, "Well, what do you think?" And she said, "Tell him I ain't interested."
Oh,
and that
wow.
Was it. Yeah. And so I hung up the phone. And then after about 3 minutes, I called back, and she answered the phone. And I identified myself and told her that I was just curious as to what about the, why weren't you interested? Could you tell me what there was, what about the book, the manuscript you didn't like? Maybe I can improve upon it. She told me, "I ain't got time for this. You know, make an appointment and come to New York." I said, "I live in Atlanta." "Well, come to New York." I said, "So come to New York for you to tell me why you don't like my book." "I ain't got time for this." And I said, "Well, I'm sure you don't." And she's like, "Excuse me?" I said, I said, "Clearly it behooves you to be nice to someone when that should be a requirement for someone in your position." And she, and I said, "Well, we'll meet again." And then she was, and she's like, "Whatever." And that's how the conversation ended. Years later, of course. Yeah. And now how rude was that?
Wow. Wow.
Then you have others who are just wonderful, and they may like your work and can't do anything with it, or they may not be able to do anything with it, but they are professional about it. So I guess what I'm saying, just like in any profession, you can expect the good and the bad. But I just found the agents, there's a clique of agents out of New York who all know each other, and they know all the publishing houses and the editors, and so they have this little clique that and they're close to each other, and they seem to, in general, act the same way. So, again, not to be discouraging, just to you're going to have a tough skin is the point.
You have to learn the business that you want to be in. Your business.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And part of it, this
because
part of it.
Nothing worthwhile comes easy the end of the day. I mean, to be successful and sir, to be where you are, you know, you've pretty much just given us the pros and the cons, you know, of the game and what it takes to be successful. I'm not sure how you would describe yourself, you know, but I'm thinking I know already. You appear to be a very humble person, and I think that's how one remains successful, or at least sustained success, is by remaining humble and working hard. And so regardless of how many doors slammed in your face, because there will be doors slammed in your face, you have to be able to take the good from the bad, the good with the bad, and know that you have a good product for somebody. It may not be the right product for the person you're presenting to right now, but let me just continue. And so, again, you are a good example for us. We appreciate you for taking time to really just, you know, impart tonight for those who take what you do seriously. We respect it on this show, and thanks for stopping past. Ladies, as we conclude, again, thank you, Author Curtis Bunn, for hanging out with us tonight.
My pleasure. Let me just say, if I can have a couple of seconds, I really appreciate it. I love the industry. I love writing. But I love what you guys do. I've done many, 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 many radio shows over the years, and I can't say that I've dealt with a more professional group ready with good questions. I've had so many interviews where the questions are just they won't be helpful to the listener. And so I think what we talked about today was very helpful to your listening audience.
Thank you, sir.
And
thank
anytime
you, sir.
You want me back, anything I could do, don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you, because we were just talking off the air, you know, about, you know, talking to you really from a broad perspective tonight. We're bringing you back, you know, so that you can kind of talk about your works in detail. We respect the craft. And again, we want to use this platform, you know, to really help to grow and inform and empower and inspire, you know, those who take life seriously and those who are trying to improve their quality of life. And so, you know, thank you for helping us to do that tonight. As I digress, take us home, folks.
I would just like to say, Mr. Bunn, thank you again for the opportunity. I don't want to gush too much, but I'm definitely a fan of your works. I, too, am trying my hand in the literary field, and I am guilty, just like CeeLo is, of kind of holding on to it, not thinking, just personally myself, that it's good enough to even, you know, have a shot. But you've definitely dropped some pearls of wisdom on me and have given me a nice little push in the direction that I think I needed, just to even, you know, take a chance on it. So for that, as well as this interview opportunity and any other time that you come back in the future, I thank you and I appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And last but not least, Madam Boston, right? How you doing? I really enjoyed you this evening. And the people that I'm quite sure that you've touched this evening, it's going to, I think it's going to set off a chain reaction of self-searching, you know. And so, again, I would love to have you come back on. And thank you for sharing yourself and your work with us. And as normal people, whatever you do, do it well.
No doubt. Hey, check us back on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Again, thank you very much for stopping past, sir. And we'll be getting in contact with you to come back real soon.
Sounds great.
Hump Day Wednesday, we're back. Good night, everybody. Be safe.